ربي اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي ربي زدني علما اللهم فقهنا في الدين اللهم إني أسألك علما نافعا وعملا متقبلا ورزقا طيبا اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما آمين يا رب العالمين. We will look at Surah Al-Humazah, Tafsir. Previously, we learned Surah Al-Asr, which is a very deep surah which requires contemplation. The companions would recite this surah to each other as a reminder when they parted from each other. However, this is not a sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but only an action of the companions alayhi wasallam. But why did they recite this surah to each other? They would do it to remind each other. And if we think of it, we too can revive its reminders. Not reciting as a ritual, because there is no benefit in that. The companions will recite to each other to remember and to be reminded. The one who recited and was recited to both knew which big loss was being mentioned in this surah. Usually when we recite it, we do it as a ritual without understanding the depth and worrying about the big loss we face. In this surah is a solution which gives remedy from saving oneself from the loss. Therefore, we should recite it with an understanding of the message the surah contains. Also, the one we recite it to, they should be familiar with the message of the surah. If not, then they should be informed of it. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us what to recite at the conclusion or end of a gathering, which we should know. We also learned the biggest wealth which escapes from us is time. It is impossible to bring back the time that passed. A person can only move forward in time and not back. If you relate to our previous time today, we realize it will never return. This time is so valuable and we cannot stop it from moving forward. This is why man is in a loss. Otherwise, if we could, we would save it to use it later. This time is slipping as sand slips out of hands. It will not come back. The next Ramadan will be the next Ramadan. It will not be this Ramadan. We should take advantage of this time and value every moment. Only then we can be safe from this loss. If we look at وَتَوَاسَوْ بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاسَوْ بِالصَّبْرِ, if we think we realize everything grows in its environment, even if we take a plant from its environment and place it somewhere new, somewhere different, it will not grow, but will wilt. So where will we find وَتَوَاسَوْ بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاسَوْ بِالصَّبْرِ? Those who are Muslims and those who practice deen. Only there we will find this. We cannot expect other people to do وَتَوَاسَوْ بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاسَوْ بِالصَّبْرِ. So it is important to stay connected with our community as we live in a non-Muslim country. Some people do not consider its importance and start to live just anywhere where there are no Muslims, and there they raise their children and end up facing many difficulties and get influence of non-Muslims. So a person's priority should be to move where there is a masjid and a Muslim community, because we want to وَتَوَاسَوْ بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاسَوْ بِالصَّبْرِ. We should want this for each other and have others around who will enjoin us to the truth when we too get weak. Are there people who can do this? Remind us of the truth when we weaken, and rare reminders to adopt patients is required. A lonely sheep can be easily snatched by a wolf, therefore cannot live alone, but should be in an environment, a community. If someone is already living in this environment, then they should make arrangements to be a part of a community. Otherwise, Shaitan is watching over us. Environments make a great impact on a person. May Allah guard our iman and save us from the big loss. Now we will look at Surat Al-Humaza. Its name is in the first ayah. From Humaza til Lumaza. This surah was revealed in Mecca. Its number in Revelation is 32, and in the Mus'haf, it is 104. Previously in Surah Asr, it was mentioned that everyone was in a loss except those with Iman and those who do good deeds and enjoin each other to the truth and enjoin each other with patience. In this surah is an example of a person who will face losses in the hereafter. If a person does not do what is mentioned in Surah Al-Asr, then where this person ends up is mentioned in this surah. Those who slander, taunt, and pick faults of people, we learn their outcome. Also those who gather wealth and think that their wealth will always remain with them, we learn the stern warning against them. This is a short surah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Waylul li kulli humazatil lumazah. Wail for every person who slanders, backbites, and makes life difficult for people. We will look at when this surah was revealed. It was revealed in Mecca. And if we imagine the time as people are being invited to Islam, and there are many people who are jealous and arrogant. When these people see others accepting Islam, they felt a sense of danger, especially the big chiefs. They started to fear losing their position of leadership as people were inclining towards Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Islam. People started taking heed to his call. So they began a big propaganda against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions. What was the propaganda? Whichever gathering these people would go to, they would start to say bad things about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions. They would pick on their faults. As happens today, there is a person who only does good and then another one who comes and starts talking ill about others. He leaves all good in the gathering and focuses on the bad. This also happens in the gatherings of deen at times, and where learning of Quran takes place. After learning matters from the Quran, instead of focusing on all the good they learned, they find one matter to talk badly about, looking for a mistake and highlight it. This was the job of a disbeliever of that time, and today Muslims are doing this as well. Whether if it is a gathering of good or any other gathering, it doesn't matter. If a person has this habit, doesn't leave anyone who he mocks. Humazat al-Lumaza is a person who constantly looks for faults in others, whose habit is to do this. Just as a fly that likes to sit on trash, unlike the honeybee that sits on flowers and sucks on nectar of the flower, both are different. Similarly, in people are some who are like the dirty fly. At that time were certain people who didn't spare even the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They would look for faults even while the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was free and innocent from wrongs, faults, and sins. Yet there were some who found negative things to speak about him. Why did they do this? Because they were proud of their wealth, their status, and thought, no matter what we do, no one can harm us, and were constantly looking out for faults to magnify and spread rumors about. They overlooked all the good they gained from gatherings of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as the munafiqeen at time of Medina would do. They would sit in the gatherings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when revelation was revealed to him, would increase the faith of some, for some became a means of guidance for others. But what did these munafiq take from these gatherings? If you look in a gathering, everyone takes from what they hear differently according to their capability. In a gathering, one can take good and another only leaves with evil. This is about Akhnas bin Shuraik, a disbeliever who would taunt the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and find fault in him and the other companions. Walid bin Mughira would also do it, but here the disbelievers are not mentioned by name. Therefore, we cannot limit the meanings to certain names specifically. But as we learn, ayahs of the Quran respond to situations of the time of the Prophet ﷺ and carry a general meaning. It has both meanings. So if we look at the general meaning, it refers to every person who looks after the faults of people and looks to find something negative to speak about. Then for these people is wail, a woe, a destruction. It is also a name for a valley in hell. We see such bad outcome for these type of people. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Shall I not inform you of those people who are the best among you?" The companions said, "Why not, O Prophet of Allah?" The Prophet ﷺ said, "They are those, when one sees them, remembers Allah. May Allah make us among them." Then he said, "Shall I not inform you of those who are the worst among you? They are the ones who backbite or complain about others and cause strife among people and find faults in those who do not have those faults. Some people have a habit to speak ill about others. So for them, the Prophet ﷺ said, those who put faults in others and backbite and complain about others, so the relations between two people are hindered and causes fights between them, such as when someone says, 'Do you know she was saying this about you? You are this or that,' and then it results in a dispute. So those who slander, backbite, and cause fights between people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will raise them up with the faces of dogs on the day of Qiyamah." Astaghfirullah. Today, so many are preparing themselves for this outcome. Some people talk negatively about people who are facing difficulties and trials. They look for opportunity for others to be in trouble so they can speak badly about them and find fault in them. Some face grief due to their child. Some are stressed due to lack of income and are facing financial difficulties. The difficulty faced by a person is hard enough, but then there are certain people who add further pain to injury by speaking badly about them, saying they must have done something wrong. If we see someone in a difficult situation, we should know that it is a trial for this person. Didn't the Prophet ﷺ face difficulties? Nor the prophets. Didn't they face hardships? They face such difficulties and hardships. The disbelievers would use these difficulties to taunt them and say ill of them. They would say, "Look at this. This is a punishment from our idols." This is what they said to the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There was a female companion who was a slave. She became blind because of getting beat up by the disbelievers. They would tell her that this is the outcome of rejecting her idols, a punishment from them, because she left them, taunting her this way. This was their tactic. If any believer would find difficulties in their path, the disbelievers would taunt them. This was the way of the mushrik, the idolaters, at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Have we adopted their way? If anyone faces difficulties, do we start looking at their faults instead of considering it a trial for them? Just as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam faced hardships and people would start speaking negatively about him. Was that correct? Or when they said negative things about the companions, were they correct in that? No. We should see difficulties faced by people as trials upon them. And one who is faced by difficulties and hardships, they should do istighfar and know it is due to a mistake on their part, and should know that Allah does not wrong anyone. This is the attitude people should have. Not to consider it a golden chance to speak ill of others and putting down others to pick at their faults. Some people don't even speak behind people's back and say, I am not afraid, I will tell them on their face. And they taunt others and consider it being brave. Here, both are mentioned. Wail is for both. لِكُلِّ هُمَزَةِ اللُّمَزَةِ For every slanderer, defamer, and backbiter. The Prophet ﷺ said, your blood, your wealth, and your honor is haram upon each other. And the Prophet ﷺ said, O people who have verbally testified to faith, but faith has not entered into your hearts. Why did he say that? Because do not backbite Muslims, nor look for their faults. And whoever Allah follows after their faults, then he will be humiliated even in their own home. Astaghfirullah. If Allah starts looking at the faults of a person, he or she will not be safe even in their own home. We should pray to Allah that Allah save us from being humazatil lumaza and protect us from this evil and remove it from us if it is in us. Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, save yourself from backbiting, because it is a curry for human dogs. What dogs eat, this is their curry. Astaghfirullah. Amr bin Utbah, he saw his slave with a man who was backbiting someone. Upon hearing him, he said, woe to you, keep your ears clean from the distrust of others, as you have kept yourself from saying ill. Meaning, do not even hear this type of talk. What is the solution to end this behavior? First, we should know that it is a sin. It is a sin about which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran as someone who eats the flesh of his dead brother. Who would like to do this? One can only feel disgust. In another hadith, it is mentioned that riba, or backbiting, is even worse than zina or fornication. Sadly, this has become so commonplace. If there are four people sitting, when one leaves, the other three start speaking of him. If there are three and one leaves, the other two start talking bad about him. And when the four are together, and they were talking ill of the fifth not present with them. So whoever left, the remaining start talking about the other. Someone said to a teacher, what fun is left if there is no backbiting in our gathering? Then the teacher asked, would you like it if people speak badly about you? The person said no. Then the teacher said, then you don't say ill about anyone else either. People enjoy backbiting about others, not thinking if they were also talked about, how badly they would feel. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from this and forgive us if we ever did it in the past. May Allah forgive all our past sins out of His mercy. There are certain situations where backbiting is allowed. For example, if anyone placed a proposal for marriage and if someone knows the woman or a man is involved with something, then it is incumbent to inform the concerned family. Or if anyone wants to join a business partnership and someone knows about the person's fraudulent background, then it is a must to let them know. But backbiting cannot be done for putting people down. We have to leave this habit. We must make a firm conviction to save ourselves from it. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help us with it. What else is the solution? As mentioned, knowing that it is a sin, Allah doesn't love those who announce evil matters. If anyone wants to gain nearness and love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has to leave things detested and disliked by Allah, then we should also know that whoever we backbite will get our good deeds on the Day of Judgment. And if a person knows this, will save himself from it. Also, on the Day of Judgment, if there are not enough good deeds to give to the other person who they backbited in this life, then they will get their sins. So we should remember our tahajjud, tasbihat, the Hajj and the Umrah, and all the other good deeds the other person will be taking from us. And whenever backbiting is about to be done, we should remember our own faults. And if our faults were mentioned, how would we feel about it? Just as a blind person, how can he describe the faults of another person? Or one who is deaf, or someone with another disability, how can they pick on defects of others? If we see the bad things in us, then how can we highlight the bad in others? And if a person backbites someone, but the person does not have those faults, then it is a bigger sin. It becomes a slander. If we do not have the faults of others, then we should be thankful to Allah for it. Then how can we involve ourselves in the sin by doing backbiting? Also, gatherings where backbiting is commonplace, we must stay away from these gatherings and those people. If they are people of Quran, then we should remind them with watawasaw bilhaq, saying the truth. Also, we must excuse people. It is said that be angry on a person for a fault only when we know we can't make that same mistake. But if we make the same mistake, then how can we be angry at the other person? How does one do its kafara, its retribution? Firstly, making a lot of repentance. And then if the person knows of the backbiting, we should ask the person to forgive. And if the person doesn't know it yet, then seek forgiveness for that person. The Prophet ﷺ said, whoever was backbited, his compensation will be seeking forgiveness for that person, as well as for yourself for doing it. So the backbiter will ask Allah to forgive the person who they backbited, and then mention him or her in a good way in front of others, even if the person has passed away. When a person starts mentioning good about them, the shaitan will realize that the opposite happened of what he whispered the person to do in the first place. Then the shaitan will not put these whisperings in our hearts. We must commit ourselves to not fall into humazat al-lumaza. If you make someone sad by taunting them, if they feel sad about it, then the sigh of the hurt reaches the throne of Allah. Therefore, we have to safeguard ourselves from ever causing emotional pain to others. And whoever backbites another in front of you will not spare you either. Therefore, must either stop them from this behavior, and if they do not stop, then have to distance yourself from them. And if we keep company with them, we will surely start doing it as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions another characteristic. الَّذِي جَمَعَ مَالًا وَأَدَّدَهُ. He is one who collects wealth and counts it. What type of person is this? He is greedy for wealth. He loves to gather wealth, and he loves to count it. it doesn't necessarily mean that he counts piles of money. How is money counted today? When a person constantly looks at his own assets and focuses on his status, he constantly checks his financial standing and worth. He checks what is the worth of his properties owned, always being happy looking at them and becoming proud because of them, or constantly watching the price of shares. Or when a husband and wife are both working like machines and gathering more and more wealth, not giving the right of Allah, nor have mercy towards others, nor giving the rights of people. They see so many people hungry and know of orphans and needy, but do not give anyone. They are careless of others. They're careless of others' needs and suffering. Their only focus is to gather and collect more and more, and they count it. As anyone who collects wealth likes to count it, constantly assessing wealth they have acquired and gathered. This character slanders others because he feels, what harm can the others cause him? Just as the Kuffar of Makkah were, they had wealth and leadership. They thought, what can these poor Muslims do to them? Some were slaves, so they thought, what can they do? Therefore, dared to pick their faults and mock them. Usually, a person who is wealthy exceeds in this because he doesn't care for anyone. The one who is poor feels he may need someone, and if acted this way, would not be dealt with in a good way. Therefore, does not slander anyone. However, he may still backbite. While someone who is wealthy would do both humaza and lumaza because of wealth. This conduct is commonly found in rich relations with their poor family members. After helping them monetarily, they feel they can taunt or speak their ills, thinking they can't do anything, and are the ones who are needy. Taunting in relationships has become a commonplace. And when they part from each other, they resort to backbiting. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of this characteristic of disbelievers of Makkah. He did not mention their name because a general meaning is implied and for all times. Muslims are being warned not to adopt this trait as these are the traits of disbelievers. Muslims are warned to stay away from this trait. These are three traits, and these are all found in Muslims today. Imam Ghazali said, where there are dogs, angels of Allah's mercy do not come. As we learn the hadith that on the day of Qiyamah, these people will be raised in the forms of dogs. Then he said, in homes where there is a dog or dogs, angels of mercy do not come. So they have become like dogs. This is how he instilled hatred for this sin. If we want the mercy of Allah in our homes, then we have to leave these traits. Everyone makes mistakes, but the best sinner is one who repents and leaves the sin. One who admits their wrongdoing and then seeks forgiveness from Allah. And how is this person, this character? يَحْسَبُ أَنَّ مَا لَهُ أَخْلَدَ He thinks that his wealth will always be with him, or that his wealth will make him immortal. A person with wealth, even he knows he has to die one day, and no one can deny this reality. But he thinks that because he has wealth, it will keep his name alive after he passes away. This is why they make monuments for themselves, such as pyramids, the Taj Mahal, and other grand memorials. But why? Because in every person there is a desire for immortality, to remain alive always. However, because he cannot live eternally, he builds monuments for his remembrance. just as the Taj Mahal was built as a memorial for others to remember their love. Why were pyramids built? Why did the people of Iram mention in the Quran as Iram Azat al-Imad? Why did they build those tall pillars while no one can live in these pillars, nor in the pyramids? And even big memorials are built over the deceased, made using elaborate marble for the dead, while those who are living do not have a roof over their heads. And so much care is given in making such memorials for the deceased. There is no purpose except a means of remembrance. There are so many memorials like these in some countries. People are dying of hunger, and then some rich spend lakhs in building these memorials or elaborate doors or gates, which have no purpose. No one can live there. There is no benefit for them in this life, nor in the hereafter. They are only built to keep the ones who had them built their names alive. And those who cannot afford to build memorials do elaborate photo shoots and frame their pictures to be remembered, while in reality, when the person dies, the family keeps the picture for some time, then off to the closet or trash. Man wishes immortality, and for it gathers and gathers and thinks that the wealth will keep him alive. This is why the purpose of this person's life is to gather more and more wealth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Kalla, never. It is not as they think that their wealth will keep them alive. Never. La yumbazanna fil hutama. Surely he will definitely be thrown in hotama. We learn nabaza in the yom bezenna. It means throwing something, considering it worthless. So these people will be so worthless in the sight of Allah. They will be thrown in the hotama, a fire that crushes. It crushes the bones and makes it to powder. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will throw them in this fire. This is their value with Allah, just as we throw trash. These are the trash who have these qualities. We can call it three or four qualities. Humazat al-lumaza, alladhi jama'a ma'lan wa addada, ones who slander, defame, backbite, and collect wealth and count it. This is their outcome, how these people spent their life, and now they have fallen into such fire. وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا الْحُطَمَةِ. And what will make you know what is al-hutama? What is this that crushes to pieces? Man cannot know its reality in this world. وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ. What will make it known? You cannot know the reality, what this fire is. This that crushes. Here it mentions hutama, not nar. Hutama has a specific quality. It is a specific type of fire that causes this condition. We cannot think it to be like an ordinary fire. It is narullahi al-muqadah. This is the fire kindled by Allah. While every fire is from Allah, but here it is ascribed to Allah as something greater than a fire. This is the strongest form of fire. As a pinnacle of something, we cannot imagine its reality. There is no example to the fire of Jahannam, and this is greater than even all the fires of hell, this hutama, which is kindled by Allah. Allati tattaliyu ala al-af'ida, a fire that mounts, rises up to the hearts, as a sickness or disease that attacks an organ of a body. This fire is such that it reaches and attacks the hearts. We cannot compare this fire to the fire of this world, because when a person's body gets burned from the fire of this world, a person dies. And when the person dies, the pain ends. The fire burns the body while this fire attacks the hearts, and the person in it will not die. but why does it attack the heart? As the sins were of the tongue, because the heart feels jealousy, hatred, spite, and other ill feelings. Then it comes upon the tongue. Therefore the fire will touch the hearts where the thoughts arose. Sometimes due to jealousy, a person commits homaza te lomaza. So the fire will grasp this main organ involved in the sin, the heart. The fact that a person enters hellfire is painful in itself. Then how difficult will it be when it reaches the hearts? Today, talking about people's faults and weaknesses is not considered a big deal. When the person finds this destination, what will he care where are the ones he spoke wrongly about in the world, or the money he gathered and made the purpose of his life? The person only dreamt of money and was extremely greedy for wealth, wanting more and more, only to gather wealth. His happiness and grief, worries and enjoyment were all connected with his wealth. If wealth increased, he becomes happy, and if it decreased, he became worried and sad. The heart that is hidden in a safe place, the fire will reach there as well, not just the skin. As we learn, those in hell, when their skins burn, they will get new skins. When that burns, new skins will come again. And then when that burns, again new skin will come. So this fire will not only burn the skin, but will reach within a person's heart. إِنَّهَا عَلَيْهِمْ مُؤْصَدَةٌ. Indeed, it will be vaulted and closed over upon them. These are such stern ayahs. Hasad is a cage where animals are closed in so they do not escape. There they will be placed in it and locked in so they do not escape. This fire will be closed over them. Astaghfirullah Rabbi. If we imagine an oven, if a person was placed in it and the door was closed off, even the toughest meat gets roasted. Here humans will be roasted. Astaghfirullah. If we imagine a fire everywhere, which is extremely intense, and then the doors are closed off, if anyone is closed in jail, will not feel this much pain compared to the jail of fire which man will not be able to escape from. Fi amadim mumaddadah, in outstretched columns, they will be closed off in pillars of fire around them as long towers of fire. If we imagine a well and its walls are fire, and then the well is closed off from the top. Allahumma jinna minan nar. This is the punishment for these three sins. Is it worth it to follow after others' faults and then to reach this outcome? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from this outcome. In a hadith it is mentioned, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that only a shaqi will enter hell. When asked who shaqi is, he said, one who doesn't obey Allah and doesn't leave sin fearing Allah. He is unfortunate who doesn't obey Allah to please him, and he doesn't leave sinning out of fear from him. So the fear of Allah stops him from sinning. This fire will reach within the heart, a heart which is delicate and cannot tolerate even a little bit of pain and suffering. Fire will reach it. And from Nabaza, we learn that hell is a deep place. As a well, a person will be thrown in it, and there will be no way to escape, nor any doors, and even the entrance will be closed off. Khotama is such a place which no one can open and take out a person from. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from this outcome. May Allah give us the ability to gain lessons from what we learn. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilaik. Please listen to the recitation.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ويل لكل همزة لمزة الذي جمع مالا وعدده يحسب أن ماله أخلده. كلا لينبذن في الحطمة وما أدراك ما الحطمة نار الله الموقدة التي تطلع على الأفئدة إنها عليهم مؤصدة في عمد ممددة.